Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
How are you?
Oh, wonderful. I had a wonderful vacation in St. Thomas. You know, the weather was beautiful and lots of swimming and relaxation. And just necessary because, remember, I was telling you, sometimes I just speak to too many dead people. I just need like a week of no dead people, only living.
Yeah.
It felt wonderful. You know, it's like, whoa. And then, you know, you come back and, of course, you know, you go right back into the swing of things. So it's always good to get a vacation. And I recommend you and Lisa have a little vacation soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. even just a day or two, you know, just recharge your batteries, get away and have some fun and kind of feel like ladies of leisure, because I know you work very, very hard, both of you. And, you know, not only do you work hard, but she has her other career as a drummer, and, you know, you're always helping with that. So you really are kind of working like a lot of jobs. You feel that way sometimes?
24/7. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. So I tend to feel that way too because, you know, I have a lot of reporters that ask me to write things, and I write a lot of, help write a lot of articles. But like, you know, today's been a really hectic day. And then there's like six reporters with six topics, you know. And I'm looking at it, I go, maybe I'll do two of the topics. I mean, it's a little bit overwhelming because I love doing it. I love, you know, giving the dating advice and the relationship advice, and I'm honored to be asked. But I just sometimes wonder, it's overwhelming. Today's been like one of those days I'm like, oh, it's a little overwhelming. And so, you know, it's just when I thought the day couldn't get any more hectic. There's another log on the fire here, you know. So it's been like that. And, you know, I love my clients and I love all of them. But, you know, both of us are a little bit like we work hard. You're in agreement with that?
Absolutely.
Well, we do have a lot of callers tonight. I don't know if you know, I did a radio show last night for a blog talk. I did a show called Soul Matrix, and it's run by a wonderful woman, Pauline, and her co-host, Wendy. And we totally talked about why good people can't lead bad relationships. And it was really a fun show to do. And ironically enough, we finished the show. And we finished the show and, you know, talk about, you know, the unfixables and everything. And one of the hostesses who had a really, you know, bad ex-relationship, the moment we finished the show, he texts her. And I go, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm a mystic, not just a psychic. We just talked about him on the show without him knowing it. And, you know, he's trying to, like, you know, get in your good graces or show what he's not such a bad guy. So it was kind of funny how fast, you know, things like that happen. It just amazes me. But it was a very fun show to do. You know, it was just strictly on that topic. And, you know, that's a fascinating topic to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have, you know, a 614 number. If you go a little bit down, that's Abby. And Abby calls in, you know, periodically. And did promise her that I would put her a little bit first. She mentioned something about a soulmate in her email, so that fascinated me. So I was like, oh, yeah, we got to see what, you know, that I hope some very good things are happening in Abby's world. So maybe you'll put her through first because.
Absolutely.
Then you can
chat with Abby, I'm going to scream.
And what do we have to tell people? And, you know, they didn't even know that yesterday, that you know, in the radio show, that if you don't say press one, nobody knows how to get through to talk to us. So it's.
Oh, dear Lord. Yes. Well, you know, a Blog Talk used to say that. And now, for some reason, when they changed it, they no longer say that, which is slightly frustrating.
Which is really, I think I have to send them a little message about it because, you know, it shouldn't be really us telling it all the time. It should be kind of something that as soon as, you know, you call in, it says press one if you want to talk to the host.
Yes, it should say press one if you want to speak to the host. So,
that's what it used to say.
Yeah.
I don't know who, like, cut that out of it, but, you know, they were saying the same things that, you know, sometimes Blog Talk Radio does stuff, we don't know why, but it doesn't make the job easier for us. It tends to usually make it harder.
It tends to complicate things a little bit. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, and actually, as soon as we said that, I did see a couple of little notices come up on some of these numbers here. So we're going to get to Abby's call and not waste any more of the precious time from the people that need to speak to you, Cindy. I'm going to jump into the chat room, and we will speak to Abby. Hello, Abby. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Abby. Abby's one of my favorites. She knows that, and I'm always happy to hear from you. And I found your email very intriguing today, so why don't you just, like, tell us what's going on?
Yes, you had mentioned that I was going to be running into my soulmate, and I did unexpectedly run into him, just like you had mentioned, and it was very unexpected. It was at a work function with about 100 other people, but he did come right up to me. But since we were with 100 other people, he just said hi, and he was actually presenting at the event. So we didn't actually get to talk one-on-one, so I was very disappointed. But he came right up to me on purpose and said hello to me. And so that was very surprising since you had said that he was avoiding me, and he did it in front of both. So I was very impressed that he you know, wanted to say hi to me and did it in front of everybody. So
good. And do you see him at work at all anymore, or just, you know?
I haven't seen him since. This was 2 weeks ago that this happened.
Okay. And did he give you that eye contact? Did you get that?
Most
like,
definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, it's funny because soulmates, you know, especially when you're in a work situation and you can't really reveal things in front of people, the eyes have a way of letting you know what he's thinking. Do you know that people kind of see the vibration or kind of see that the light that shines when you two are near each other, by the way?
I definitely think so. I think they can tell.
Right. And are you going to try to maybe move this forward? Is there any, I mean, I don't know what your policy at work is about fraternizing. Are you allowed to date people you work with?
Yes, I did kind of ask about this recently, not about him, but in general. But there are many people that are married that do work there. But I did notice that he's still wearing his wedding ring. So that's one thing I did want to ask you, if you can tell when his divorce might be final, because I don't know.
I'm surprised he doesn't take that. I'm surprised if he's in the middle of a divorce, he doesn't take the ring off, by the way. Is it that he doesn't want people to know at work what's going on? Is he trying to keep it secret?
I don't know. I know when I was going through my divorce that I wore my wedding ring, you know, for a long time just because I didn't want people to know I was getting divorced.
Yeah, that's what it kind of looks like here to me, too, that, you know what, where you work is kind of a little bit of a catty place and can be kind of gossipy, so I think... you know, probably he's just trying to avoid those questions. It looks like, you know, the divorce has not been going as easy as he would hoped it would have gone, by the way. And he will not start in anything with you as long as he's still married, by the way. I don't know if you realize that. Because, you know, especially because you guys work together. He doesn't want it to look like, you know, the divorce happened because of Abby or anything like that. So, you know, once the divorce goes through, there's no obstacles to separate you. So I just think he's being a little bit discreet about what's happening. She seems to be not an easy person to leave, by the way. And, you know, maybe it's money issues or whatever, but, you know, you went through a complicated divorce, and so you can kind of sympathize that this is a little more complicated than he thought it would be. So,
yes.
Do you know when he started the divorce?
I don't know, but my understanding is that I think this has been going on for at least a year and a half, if not more.
That's what it looks like here. I mean, this is pretty protracted. It's really a lot of money negotiation, okay? And, you know, things like who's going to get pensions, this, that, and the other thing.
Yes.
He has children as well because there's kids showing up. You know about the kids?
Yes, I know he has two children, two daughters.
And there is also a little bit of her making it difficult about custody and things like that. It's not going to be dragged out forever, so maybe another 6 months or so it should be kind of more finalized. But it's not easy because I think he's still living with her. Do you know about that?
That's what I was just going to ask.
Uh-huh. And I think it's because he can't really move out until the divorce is finalized. And I think there's a little and because of that, you know, he's not really free to date or do anything. And he wouldn't want to do it while he's living in the house and he has his kids. So there's mostly that he hasn't been able to really get through this as fast as he would want to. I mean, I don't know what the laws are like in your state, but sometimes in New York you really can't move out. It's considered desertion until the divorce goes through. So, you know, it can be complicated. So I don't know if your state has the same kinds of things ruling, but it looks like legally he's being told to stay put. So.
Right, and I think the one thing that's frustrating for me is I just don't understand why he can't just even just talk to me. That's what I think is a little frustrating.
Well, I think the hard part about this is that because you work together, I just don't think he wants anybody to think this started before he got his divorce.
Okay.
I think he seems to be very protective of you, by the way. He likes you. He knows you've been through a lot. I don't think he wants anything to jeopardize your job or have people gossiping. You know, he's a little, I'm not saying you're naive because you're not, but, you know, I think he knows more what the people are like in the place or what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't want any trouble for you. You know, he's pretty considerate that way. You know, he's the man, and he doesn't, maybe he wouldn't mind the gossip so much, but he, you know, as much as we say gender roles have changed and it's not true with women. You know, the women are always the ones that get the bad reputation, you know.
Right.
It's not the men. But, you know, I think you're going to find yourself running into him a little bit from time to time. And if I were you, I'd just get this conversation going, ask him how things are going on the home front. See if you can get him to talk to you a bit. And
right.
You know,
it's just because he doesn't come around anymore. And I know you had said just not to kind of pursue him, to just kind of leave it be and let him come around on his own terms.
Right. And it looks like the divorce will be going through, you know, sooner than later. And then he'll feel more comfortable. About the whole thing. He would also have to then let people know in the office that he's gotten a divorce. I just
right.
think he would rather just let them know he's divorced than everybody asking about it too much. So,
right.
You know, he still has very strong feelings for you. That hasn't changed. You know, work looks really good for you, by the way. I hope everything settled down on the work front. Did it?
That's what was so weird. I was going to tell you is right after seeing him, it was the day before my hearing was going to happen. I went back and I found out that my hearing was canceled just 24 hours before I was supposed to appear before the judge. They said, oh, we've decided not to pursue the case against you.
Huh.
And with no reasoning, they gave me no reasons. For 6 months, they were pursuing this case against me, and then like 6 months later, the day before, they said, we decided not to have it. We're dismissing it. You're fine.
Now, didn't I tell you to relax? Didn't I tell you how to handle this, the facts?
Yes.
Didn't
yes,
I tell you
I
just address the facts?
Everything. Yes, I gave them all the documentation for 2 weeks up I was talking to the attorney, giving her everything she needed, but I still couldn't sleep or eat for 2 weeks beforehand.
And I was telling you, don't do that. I told you all you had to do is deal with the facts. You had very compelling facts for the situation that would speak for themselves.
I recall this conversation.
And I am so happy. It's what's called righteous anger, righteous action. You were, they accused you of something and you explained what the situation was very calmly. And I told you from the beginning when you told me it didn't seem like a very sound case that they had at all, by the way. I thought it sounded like a kangaroo court, okay? And, probably you had the right to sue them. This looked a little bit like, not great to me, okay? So when you addressed it and then it just disappears, I find that fascinating. And I want you to know it's because you listened, you stayed calm. What I want our listeners to hear is what I try to tell people is once you've done the facts with any court case, don't lose sleep over it. Don't get yourself sick. Just wait and see what happens. And that makes me happy. I am so happy to hear that. And I'm sure you're 1,000% relieved with that.
Yes. I am very relieved. I definitely took your advice. I was all prepared to go and do exactly what you said. So I was prepared.
And can you see how even if you had handled your divorce more like that, and back then you were naive, you didn't understand how bad someone could be and what a liar and a sneak and all of these things that your ex is. But if you had handled some of that situation then like that, you might have had a different outcome. And that's why you have to pass this on to people you know, what you've learned, how yet when you're dealing with situations like this. I also think your soulmate at work didn't want to make any of this worse for you, okay? So it didn't want to give any reasons for them to, really want to go after you, pursue you or anything. So I think you stepped back until this was all resolved as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, he didn't want to add anything for them to say you're doing something else wrong. Okay, so know that ultimately your cards look really good. I'm so happy with the news for you. Do me a favor and let us know what happens in the next few months because I think his divorce is going to, toward the summer, at least maybe he's going to be able to move out. If nothing, that might be a big move forward for him. He also doesn't want to drag you through it, You had a hard divorce of your own. I think he wants this to be resolved and not kind of have you there through it. It also doesn't want his children to resent you or anyone that, it would look like he got involved with you and that's why he's getting a divorce. It's better you're kind of out of the picture until everything is cleaned and cleared up for him. So
okay.
He seems like a really nice guy by these cards, by the way.
I think he is. I really do think he's a really good person. I really do. I think he's worth waiting for.
And again, if we have more than one soulmate, and if he doesn't move forward eventually, you'll be granted another one. But, just be a little patient with him. And, thanks for sharing the good news about your office. That's really happy to hear. And,
well, thank you very much.
And I love the way that, Abby is with me. Abby gives me emails or Abby tells me important things. And then when people tell me important things, then the vortex, the guidance is even clearer because I can hear what they're saying. It's much harder when people play the parlor game with me, like guess what I need to know about. Because, I can pull up on it and do it, but it's not as accurate or as wonderful as when, people cooperate the way Abby cooperates. She's really a great, you're really a good girl, Abby. We love you. I hope you know that.
Well, thank you. I love you guys, too. Thank you very much.
And good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, isn't that great news?
Yes.
Isn't that great news? And, it was one of those things at work when, when they were questioning her and things, it didn't seem to me like a very valid, case here or even that they had a right to do what they were doing. So obviously their legal counsel probably told them that when she answered all the facts.
They thought better of it.
Back off. They thought back off. Now, if she had been scared and intimidated and nervous, we hang ourselves then because we get upset, we say things we shouldn't. So, you know, I'm so glad for her. And in the workplace, people have to really watch their backs lately because it's a dog eat dog world a bit out there.
Yeah, I had similar situations in my office this week, ironically enough. So I completely understand.
Yeah, you get it. And I'm saying, you know, people, you know, if they perceive it to be a shortage of work or people want what you have, you know, then, you know, it can really be a messy situation in the office. So I'm always telling people, you know, play a little poker face, be a little strategic, don't let everybody know what you're thinking, because that really helps in these situations. Now, I can see you have Angela in New Jersey, okay, and you want to put her through?
Okay. Yes, I will. And just for everybody else out there, Angela is in New Jersey, and she wants to know if you see anybody coming through for her. And in addition to that, she also has a business, and she wants to know if you see anything regarding the future of that business. So she's a little two-parter tonight, but we're going to go out to Angela in New Jersey. Hello, Angela. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Angela in New Jersey. Well, the first card I got is a mourning card. So this is obviously a recent death, by the way? First of all, there's a father figure. Who is that passed away?
I'm not sure.
You have a grandfather who passed away, by the way?
Yeah, older, a while ago, yeah.
A long time ago, your grandfather passed away.
Yeah.
Do you remember him at all, by the way?
No, I didn't meet him because situations, and then when I was supposed to, he passed away.
Okay, and it's funny because, he's the one that wants to answer some questions about business for you, by the way, which cracks me up. But, you have the Queen of Pentacles cards coming up. How old are you, by the way?
29.
Okay, that's why I thought you were younger, because the Queen of Pentacles is a woman who tends to make a little bit more money in the next decade, between like 29 and 39. Very good money business-wise, by the way. Very good money. And are you happy with what you're doing career-wise now, by the way?
Yeah, I found something I really love, so.
Okay, and that doesn't, you know, nothing looks bad business-wise for you, by the way. You just will have some choices to be making in the next year or two. And I think you'll follow them very, very carefully and do very, very well. The person who recently died, is that a sudden death, by the way?
Yeah.
Because all of this person is saying, I'm sorry I didn't get to say goodbye. And and that's kind of troubling in its own way. Is this person not very old, by the way?
No.
Because this is a younger person coming through. And
very young.
Okay, good, because that makes sense to me. Older people, like your grandpa, by the way, when people are older when they die, they're like kind of mellow about it. It's like, okay, we lived our life. This person's a little bit agitated, not at peace yet. And I don't mean to say that to make you uncomfortable, but it's just that didn't have enough time to even process how they've crossed over and the whole event. Is this a family member of yours, by the way?
She's not, but
she knows your family, by the way?
She was someone that just recently became very close to my family, and I was basically mentoring because she was going through a lot. So I was having her over a lot to do with me. And,
she loves your family. She loves your family. Oh, my God. She's very sorry to have caused this much pain to your family, by the way.
I guess that's what I wanted to hear.
And it's funny because she's like, you guys did everything that you could have humanly done to help her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's very sorry. You know, she keeps saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You have a nice mom, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Because she said your mom was like a mom to me. I love your mom. And your mother seems to be really taking this hard, by the way.
Yeah.
It might be just the nature of your mom because she's very kind.
Mm-hmm.
And, This girl didn't have an easy life, I'll tell you that much. Do you know about any of that?
I know a little bit. I mean, we just started to get to the root of things when everything happened, so.
Okay, and again, sometimes getting to the root of things at that moment, sometimes people would almost rather die than face certain things they have to face. And she said that you should have no guilt about her death. And if you feel guilty, she's going to come back and smack you. And I'm laughing because she's got a great spirit about her. I will tell you that. I like her. Do you know about drug or alcohol use in her, by the way?
Well, she was on a lot of mental stuff. They had her on a lot of things for mental health. So she was using a lot of prescribed meds.
Because she's saying she wasn't in her right mind fully and seemed to be over-medicated, if you ask me.
That's my opinion, too, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, so upset because, you know, now she doesn't have her body, so she doesn't have a lot of fears anymore.
Yeah.
And she could be pretty obsessive-compulsive. She could really worry a lot. Do you know about her worrying?
Yeah, and she worried about a lot, yeah.
She worried about everything. Now she goes, well, I'm not too worried right now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good up here. But I think if you and your family would know that you did everything and you actually made her happy, all of you, you made her happy. She felt loved and cared for. And she's very apologetic about her death. Do you know what that's about?
Yeah, she killed herself. So.
That's what I thought. And I need to kind of tell you something that has been channeled to me from a lot of people who have killed themselves. And, you know, it's way too many people. What they tell me, what she's confirming, is that they wouldn't kill themselves if they weren't on so many psychiatric drugs, okay? Because, you know, depressed people don't normally kill themselves for one simple reason. There's one person who might care about that. You know, there's one person who loves them and will hurt. But when you're on psychiatric drugs, that part of your conscience, that part of your thinking doesn't operate properly.
Yeah, that's and how I agree.
And you almost become extremely narcissistic when you're on psychiatric drugs. It's about you. You're in your own head and it's about you. So had she, now people could say, well, she was suicidal before she was on them, whatever. The way that your family brought her in and loved her, she would have never done that and hurt any of you had she been not on the meds. Okay, and she says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of abuse in her, that family tree that happened, and you were getting close to it, but she said she couldn't face it. And most of the time they can't face it, not because we're never mad at the people who actually hurt us, by the way, because after a while we come to realize they must have been hurt by someone. We're mad at the good people who didn't protect us from these monsters. And we're usually trying to protect the image of the better parent or the grandparent or the person who was good. And she just wants you to know that, you know, she calmed down a lot, by the way. She's like, if you know that I'm in a good place, I'm with God, she doesn't have her fears. She doesn't have her mental illness now.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she says, I'm happy because I'm free. She doesn't believe that she would have ever gotten really better in this lifetime. I don't know if that's true or not true, but the amount of meds she's on, she really would have had to be weaned off them a lot. It's not that easy to wean them off of them.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, how did you meet her, by the way? Because she wants everybody to know that you went above and beyond the call of duty. So why don't you just share a little bit about that?
Well, her mom, I just moved to New Jersey from New York last year, and we live in this community. And I met her mom because my realtor is her neighbor, and we became close. And then her mom was part of a client of my business. So we had been talking, and then her, you know, she brought her daughter. She'd been telling me that she was having issues with her daughter, and I felt like I related to it because I used to have the same type of issues at her age. You know, there was cutting involved and stuff of that nature, and you know, I was a pretty depressed teenager, so I could relate to a lot. And
oh, yeah,
my business
cool.
is in health and fitness, so I learned the power of getting healthy and mentally and physically. So I reached out a few times when she had gone into the hospital for the cut-in and whatnot and the pills and asked if I can talk to her. So that's what started. And then I'd have her over to help me with the kids and pretend like, you know, she was a nanny helper, you know, give her $5 to go buy something for herself and let her put the kids to bed with me and give them baths. And we would just talk. I'd bring her on the trip to the market with me and I'd make dinner for her. So basically I was just trying to have her over as much as possible to be out of the situation that she felt she was in and also get inside her brain a little and let her know that, you know, there is a good place in the future for you and it's not always going to feel as bad as it does right now if you can get past it.
And that was wonderful
of you. I
guess
I was confused because the last time we'd met with each other, which I think is where the guilt comes from in general. I mean, I'm still guilty, but my husband was off for a week, so I was having a hard time meeting up with her because he was around a lot. And I made a little time and ran to the store and picked her up. And we had such a good conversation. And I felt really good when I left her, and I felt really confident that she was getting a little better. And then it was only a few days later that I heard about what happened. They called me in the morning, and I just think that for me was the biggest shock because we had had such a great conversation the last time I saw her, and I just felt real sad that I didn't know or see the signs of what was going to come.
Okay, and, you know, for every person and for psychics particularly, because, you know, I know a number of them, and, you know, people commit suicide, and it's very, very painful for anyone who's involved with this. And she's saying she's responsible for her death, no one else, okay? You have to allow her to take responsibility for her action. And that, again, she was not in her right mind. I mean, she didn't really, you know how much it would hurt people because of the psychiatric drugs. But if she wasn't telling you the truth, how bad she was feeling, how could you help her?
Yeah.
And that's one thing.
That, yeah.
You know, when we're dealing with people, I'll tell people, I cannot help you if you do not tell me the truth.
Yep.
So if you're going to lie to me, and as a psychic, I'm usually pretty intuitive when people lie, and I could see it. But if I love somebody, like really love a client, I can be fooled just like anybody else, okay?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I'll always tell people, if you don't tell people you're hurting and you're not doing well, and, you know, they can't help you. Also, the nature of what was surfacing in her, sort of just when you sort of feel great, then a memory surfaces because that's how the healing process goes. And they usually give you a little break. You feel really good, and then something. She just couldn't deal with it. She just really couldn't deal with what was surfacing. And you made her feel very much loved and taken care of and appreciated. And,
well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
and she's saying, you're not responsible for my death. And I always tell my clients, we're not responsible for the gun someone pull, you know, the trigger they pull or the pills they take. We're not responsible for that. And, you know, ultimately the suicide person is held accountable. And God is very kind about it. Her intention in killing herself was not to hurt anybody. She wasn't even cognizant of that. But what was happening is she was afraid she was going to hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, when you get memories surfacing, you know, you get angry. You want to go hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You want to go kill somebody. Good people kill
them.
Yeah,
and there were a few instances of some stuff like
that. You know what I'm talking about. They would rather
kill
themselves than hurt another person. So their intention in killing themselves was not to hurt others. It was to prevent them from doing something they would have regretted doing. And, you know, she said God is really good to her. He's like, this is really good up here. You know, people are really good. And, you know, God is good. You know, she wants you to know that the time she spent with your children in your home, in your family, were the happiest days of her life. She feels very bad about her mother, by the way. I mean, her mother seems like a very nice mother, according to, you know, she doesn't have anything bad to say about her mother, but we as mothers can't help our teenagers a lot of times. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We can't. We need someone else to step in and help. And, you know, I don't want you to feel like, you know, sometimes when something like this happens, we all feel like, I don't want to open my heart ever. I don't want to help anybody. You know, we get kind of like, it's very anxiety producing when this happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have psychics calling me who clients have killed themselves and they're out of their minds, these people. And I'll be like, you did everything you could. And they need for me to let them know that, because they almost, you know, they want to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I'll be like, no, if you stop doing and helping people, then these suicides are really going to be answering to God. If we stop doing our good because we're afraid, then they will be punished for that. So what she's saying is be good to people. She loves music, by the way, so you should get a lot of signs for music for her, from her.
Okay, good.
And she's sorry your children are upset. Do they know what happened? Because she seems to think they're upset.
Well, my older one did ask about her, but also maybe because the children are across the street from her, it could be that, because they were really upset. And they're on the same age, and they were very close with her, and that was a really hard part of everything.
Right. Well, she's really, really sorry that she's hurt others. And she has a nice smile, by the way. She has a beautiful smile. she's smiling, and she's can't believe she got you to call into our show, by the way.
Yeah, sometimes I like something hits me and it reminds me of her, and I just kept thinking, like, I have to call that show and to see what happens. And it's just like little things that that always remind me of her every so often. So I was like, I just needed to get, I guess, the piece of the situation.
Right, and it's funny because she said she popped the thought in your head to call. And she's laughing.
I did.
She's laughing. She goes, You heard me. I'm so powerful on the other side. The cutting and all of that shows a lot of OCD, by the way, and obsessive compulsive.
Yeah.
And OCDs do not do well on meds, I will tell you that much. And if you're, sometimes when you're a severe OCD, you get diagnosed with, psychotic conditions like bipolar, and they're not. And the meds make it worse. It doesn't make it better for OCDs. So, the wrong meds with an OCD can make them kill themselves. It's really difficult because her mom was doing everything she thought she could do to help her. And
I agree with that, but I also agree with that. It wouldn't have happened without the meds.
And that she was over-medicated, and she hopes that her mother addresses that somehow, with the psychiatrist, with, maybe reports this because she was way over medicated.
Well, I don't want to tell her that now, but when things settle down more, I
No, you mentioned to her because it shouldn't happen to anyone else. I have a lot of clients whose children have killed themselves, and it's the same story.
I definitely want to talk to her. I think it's a sensitive subject right now, so I'm trying to lead off on it.
But again,
I agree with you.
It'll prevent it from perhaps happening to another person.
I totally agree with you.
But she's just saying, Angela, you were the best friend she ever had. And
thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. It gives me a lot of closure.
And she says you have a hot husband. He's really cute. Is this true? She says you have a really cute
husband. I married him, so.
she says she got a hottie, She was like,
I married him, so I have to say that, right? But
no, she says he's really a good guy, and she liked him so much too. So
good, thank you for that.
Well,
I really do appreciate the closure.
And the most important thing is the business. She's going, I'll help you with business. You're going to do really well.
I need all the help I can get, and I appreciate it.
and that health and fitness, you're right, because for OCDs, by the way, if she were not over medicated, what you were doing would have been perfect, because working out is really good for the serotonin levels. It helps you feel better about yourself, but it physically helps you sleep better because their serotonin levels and melatonin are screwed up. Healthy eating, avoiding caffeine and eating healthy foods helps it. So what you were doing, had she not been on meds, would have been the behavior modification
perfect.
and it would have really worked. It's just that it's very hard for it to work when there's so many meds. So
I definitely agree with you on that one.
You know, she said you loved her and thank you. So
thank you.
You know, she's
really
pretty happy right now.
She's
kind
of
dancing around up there. You know, she's like, she's pretty happy now. She's like thinks it's pretty cool that she talks so well through that from the other side. She's very proud of herself.
She's cute.
By the way.
Yeah, she's a cute kid.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you so
thank
much
you
for
so
sharing
much.
Your
really
story with
the
us.
Best thing ever. So I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. It's been a very hard day for me, by the way, Nicole.
Why?
With the people that came for readings.
Oh, boy.
Who are a lot, all young people, suicides, overdoses. And it's been a very, very difficult day of readings today. I was and it's
so
much.
You have a lot of not easy messages to deliver today. So it's, you know.
And, you know, it's not funny, but one of the dead kids, very funny guy, said to me, "I always thought psychics had an easy job. Because I wouldn't want your job."
Yeah,
I wouldn't want that job.
There's no such thing as an easy job. Let's get that straight right now. No such thing.
And you know, the young people are really fun to talk to, by the way, because they can be, you know, really very charismatic from the other side. And, you know, once you get through the sorrow that, you know, that they were such a young person gone, they actually become some of my favorite dead people to talk to, because I get a kick out of them. You know, they're just fun. They're just fun, and they're very funny from the other
That's
side.
Awesome.
Very funny.
That's so
and
awesome.
It's just that, you know, and I know even TJ could see it in my face. I didn't say anything to him. Like, he's in the house all day when I'm working, and, you know, we don't, sometimes I don't have time to say. They looked at my face, and he was like, you know, like, hard day. And I was like, yep, very hard day. And, you know, so.
Poor you.
Poor me and poor everybody. So now we have Jennifer. Okay, now
yes,
Jennifer.
We have Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer.
Do we know Jennifer from before? Is she
yes,
called
you,
in before?
Yes, you know Jennifer.
Okay, good.
See,
okay,
sometimes
good.
I just want you to know something. Sometimes I don't tell you that you know them, okay, just because I want to see what you pick up from previous sessions, and you freaking get it every time, and it pisses me off sometimes.
I know. You know, it's so funny, and it's not me because the you know, oftentimes, you know, I sort of have this, like, secretarial of dead people up there. They're the ones that tell me, yep, you know this one. I'm like, okay. Because I don't remember.
Yeah, because I was like, literally, and because, you know, sometimes people ask me to do that, you know, like, especially, like, first-time callers, they'll be like, you know, like, is she really legit? And I'm like, yes, she's really legit, you know, and they'll be like, well, don't tell her too much about me. Don't tell her. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to. I'm like, all I put down is, like, name and what your question is and where you're calling from. I'm like, that's it, you know, and, like, even though, Jennifer, you knew, I was, you know, for those who out there that ask me to do that, don't tell her, don't tell her, don't tell her. You know what? I just did not tell her, and she still knew who the damn person was.
Right, and it's funny because, you know, it happens to me all day long, and sometimes I don't remember the living people. You know how I recognize who they are from the dead?
More.
From the dead. I recognize their relatives.
Well,
I don't recognize their face, but I recognize their dead relatives. That's when I know
so
I need
funny.
A vacation, though, when I don't remember living, but I remember the dead. It's time for a vacation.
Yeah. Definitely. And you know what? Before we just jump into Jennifer's call, the one thing that I did want to tell you about the fact that you did have a rough day, Cindy, is that, you know, like, even though it's a rough day for you and you're delivering a lot of hard messages, you really gave, you know, our previous caller, Angela, a lot of closure today. And you know what? Sometimes when you get that kind of feedback, it makes your day a little bit easier knowing that you really, truly helped somebody with your struggle today. So, kudos to you for being able to do that, because it takes a very, very strong person to be able to do what you do. So, you know, that's all I wanted to tell you about that call. And now we're going to jump over into Jennifer. All right,
okay.
And you're going to help Jennifer with her legal situation. Somebody else has passed on her as well, and nobody knows how this person passed, Cindy, so she's hoping that maybe somebody can shed some light on how this person has passed. So here we go. Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jennifer. So is the legal situation involved with the person who died, by the way?
No.
Okay, so we've got two different questions here.
Mm-hmm. And career, if you can.
Okay, so, okay. You got a lot of complicated cards going on here, too. I can see you're not going through an easy time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are, like, not easy cards to look at. And the legal situation that you're battling, you know, the situation and the person, I hope you have watched your back a lot in this situation. And this is not a good person and not a good situation at all. Are you aware of that? I'm sure you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this deck that I use for readings is a little bit rigged. In other words, it has doubles of cards. And I got the devil card twice on the situation of your legal situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not easy to battle. How long has this been going on for you, by the way?
Over a year.
Okay. It looks like it's going to come to an end, you know, sooner than later, and the resolution should be in your favor.
Okay.
But you just have to remain, like, you heard us talking to Abby. You got to remain, like, really calm. I hope you're not letting this make you sick. You know,
Not completely, no.
Okay, not completely. I like that answer. But, you know, you almost have to, like, not think about it anymore until, you know, you have to go to court, you have to deal with it, because it eats at us. These kinds of things eat at us. And there's a lot of lying here and stuff like that. So have you tried to have the facts made clear?
Yes.
Okay, and do you actually have to go to court?
It's up in the air. I'm being, like, discouraged from it by my own representative.
Okay, and, if you actually end up going in court, you're going to have to be very careful. The reason that your representative probably doesn't want you is you can't really show any emotion or anything. You have to be really pretty calm. And in the circumstances listening to this, you might not remain that way. But you got the justice card. You should win. So, you know, trust that it'll resolve itself. I think you're learning a lot about the world through this situation, by the way.
Yeah.
Are you learning that people lie and they lie a lot?
Unfortunately.
Okay, and the way you say unfortunately, I love that, but the way you said it, but the truth of the matter is the sooner we learn that people lie and they lie a lot, the easier our life becomes, because we watch our backs.
I feel that I'm being lied to by my advocate.
Is that your representative? Okay. Now, that's why I got the double devil card on it, okay? And is this a work case thing or something that deals with, because it seems like there might be a little conflict of interest going on here. So
no, it's not
work related. Have you tried to get rid of the person who represents you and get another one if you don't trust this person?
No, because I already paid them.
Okay.
I don't want to invest anymore.
Okay. You have to trust in the fact that this should go your way anyway, but, you know, are you questioning your lawyer? Are you questioning the situation?
Oh, constantly. And it's one of those situations where everybody involved is trying to make me think I'm going crazy. Like, I'll be like, look at this email and look at this photo. And it's one of those situations where people will deflect and insult and, you know, try and convince me I'm being ridiculous when the facts are just spelling themselves out. And the attorneys want to be done with it.
Okay, well, that's because it's probably not enough money for them. You know, I don't care how much you paid them. They don't think it's enough, okay? So what you want to do is do what Abby had to do. And Abby looked like really, her case looked like she could have lost her job when it was beginning, okay? And, I mean, really, they were railroading her. And, you know, also they try to make you feel like you're crazy and everything else. The best thing you could do is stick with the facts, know that you're not crazy, and don't plug into when they're trying to make it like you're being a pain in the ass. You know, and you might also stop talking to some of the people that are not helping you, that are, you know, family members, whoever may mean well, but they're not helping you with the situation. Because it's making you second guess. And you have to be very clear with the facts. If you're unsure because everybody's making you unsure, how are you ever going to win? So you want to just make sure you're clear. I do see you turning out okay on it, by the way.
Okay.
And, you know, you said there was someone who died and people are questioning how this person died?
Yes.
Okay. And how old was the person that died, by the way?
Young.
Okay, because... I said today's the young people, you know, the younger deaths. I mean, it seems to be the day of younger deaths today. Are they acting like it's natural causes, by the way?
Nobody knows. They're waiting for, yeah.
Do you suspect drugs or anything in the?
I don't really know. I didn't know the person that well. I'm kind of asking for somebody else.
Okay, it looks like the toxicology reports will probably give a lot of information as to what happened. And there are people who know more and aren't telling. Do you know that?
Okay.
And is this his mom who wants to know?
She didn't ask, but that's exactly who I'm asking for.
Okay, that's what I figured, because he said it's my mom. And, you know, there are people that know more. By the way, and they're just figuring out. You know, the thing about toxicology reports is if they wait long enough, a lot of drugs burn out of the system, and you can't tell, so sometimes that could be a problem.
Mm.
But there are some people who knew more, more surrounding it. Does anyone suspect a suicide, by the way?
Not that I know of, no.
Because he's, you know, claiming this, that's not the case, okay?
Right.
But...
It didn't look like that in the,
no, and
know,
he's,
the actual scene.
I mean, and he's saying he didn't want to die, so that much I'll tell you. He's upset, too. How long is this? Because if it's only a few months, is it a very short period of time?
It's very short, a couple weeks.
Okay, because recently dead people are really agitated, okay?
Yeah.
Younger people are known to die lie from the other side, by the way. They don't always tell the truth when they're first dead. But did they question any of his friends, by the way?
I don't think so. I think they're totally just in shock.
Okay, because there are more people that know more information. And,
okay, that's good to know.
He's crying very heavily. He said he has a really good mother. Is that true?
From what I know, yeah.
He loves her. Oh, my God. He would not have wanted to cause this pain or have this pain happen. How old was he exactly?
I think in the 40s or something.
Right. Because he's not a kid. That I could tell. You know, he wasn't, you know, I could tell 18-year-old, 19, 20. He's not. He's a man.
Right.
And, you know, are they saying it's a heart attack? Is that what they're saying?
No, they thought it was, but they ruled it out.
Okay, because he says it's not a heart attack. So, you know, that might be the most obvious thing to think at first.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to think his mom will find out from the reports.
Right. Okay.
And she may not want to tell you, by the way, or anybody.
Oh, I was just thinking that.
Okay, because, you know, he heard your thought, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says, and it's unfortunate because when people do die of overdoses and things, it really should be shouted from the rooftops.
Mm.
It shouldn't be something you hide. But if she doesn't seem to want to tell you, don't press it, he's saying.
Mm. No, I won't.
Okay, because, you know, you're a very nice person, he's saying. Thank you for caring.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
it's funny because today there wasn't one person out of like, I don't know, 9 or 10 people that I've spoken to that died that was over the age of 40. Everybody was like 18, you know, 16, I mean, young. And, you know, he didn't mean to put anybody through this kind of pain. And, you know, I don't think... people really, you know, people, if they're not telling us what's going on, how can we help them? And I can't say that enough tonight. We can't help people if they lie and they don't tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
And most of us practice denial in life. Did you know that? We
want
to pretend we don't see stuff, okay? We don't want to see it. So if I ask somebody, you know, are you stoned, using drugs, and they say no, I might say, okay, good, because I don't want to deal with it, okay?
Mm.
But if now if my gut tells me they are, I just know they are. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I press it forward.
Is anybody else coming through for me that has passed and could shed some light on, you know, the path that I'm going down? I'm trying to switch careers and I'm trying to.
You're doing so many things. Your cards look like chaos, okay?
Yeah.
You've got so much things going on. Who's the mother figure that passed? Is that one of your grandmas?
Both my mom and my grandma.
Okay, your mom has passed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, because I had two figures. One is your grandma, and then, of course, the other one was your mom.
Mm.
You were a very good daughter. Do you know that?
Thank you.
And
yeah.
Your mom is the one who told me, look at how chaotic her life is. She's saying you have to sort of take things one step at a time.
Mm.
And there is a big career change here, by the way.
Is it what I'm pursuing, or is it something totally, like, it's going to come up?
No, you know, it seems like your mom says you're getting on the right path.
Okay.
She says you're very gifted, and it's hard for you to make a choice with things at times.
Right.
But she believes in you a lot, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you miss her a lot, because she misses you?
Yeah.
And she's been gone more than 5 years, your mom, by the way?
No.
Because
no.
She's not crying anymore. So usually around 5 years, people stop crying. How long
she's
has she
been
gone?
A year and change, 14
okay.
months, 15 months.
She seems to accept where she is. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I think that should make you happy. She's peaceful. She wishes
right.
she could be here if she could be.
Right.
But this is why you're so on. You're having trouble seeing everything clearly. You got a mom that's just passed. You know, you've got legal situations. You've got career change. Can you see you're over the stress level, by the way?
Yeah, I feel like I've been stressed out for years.
Okay, and your mom's like, this is when we don't miss life, because life is so painful and hard. But,
yeah.
Did you settle all the things about your mom's death, the legal aspects of all of that?
That's
what you're concerned with? Okay, that's what I thought. Because she says, mm-hmm. In terms of inheritance and whatever you're supposed to be getting, you will get it.
Mm.
So
yeah, they want to sell all the jewelry. Is that going to happen?
You would like to keep a few pieces? Is that what you would
yeah.
want?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your mom says, can you offer to buy one of the pieces?
Yeah, well, that's the problem, because the other one stole. And
of course.
They
Why
want
am I
me
not
to pay, but they're not going to pay for what they stole.
Of course, because this is what happens. This is what my whole book about why good people can't leave bad relationships. It's family members. They're always stealing from other family members, and they don't usually get punished.
Mm.
Your mother wants you to have that piece. So it looks like you're going to get the piece that you want of jewelry, by the way.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, she said over her dead body, you're getting it. So, your mom seems pretty tough. Was she tough and firm on earth? Because she seems like she's...
In some ways, but in a situation like this, she would be, for
sure. And she's just saying, do you want me to rest in peace over the jewelry? Make sure you get what's yours. And, you know, what's going on is that it's more sentimental as well as the value of it. So...
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So your mom wishes that she had given it to out before she died, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the only way, for our listeners, the only way you can be assured that the things that you want to go where they go is you give them before you die.
Right.
Because once people are dead, boy, you start seeing people's true colors. And by the way, you're not your brother or sister's keeper, by the way. Your mother understands if you don't speak to each other after this.
Oh, God, no. I have no intentions.
Thank you. And she gives you permission not to, by the way.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It's not what she would have wanted, but believe me, the dead don't rest in peace unless their inheritances go where they want it to go. And she's a pretty peaceful soul, so I imagine it's going to go where it's got to go. All I'm going to tell you, she loves you very, very, very much, by the way.
Thank you. I love her, too.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Cindy. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Boy, can you see when people die and people steal stuff? I can't stand that. How about you, Nicole? How about the cowards? Why don't you go rob a deli and maybe you'll get a gun in your head? Don't steal from your sister.
You know
horrible.
What? People don't think of it that way. You know, I mean, unfortunately, and I've seen this happen before, that, you know, when people pass like that, there's this automatic sense of entitlement that everyone has to things that are not really theirs. You know, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks that it becomes more about the money and less about the loss.
Exactly. And it's unfortunate. And that's why I could see her cards were full of chaos. And you know, it will resolve. Well, anyway, we had an interesting show today, a little bit of everything, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you had a tough day. Go have a glass of wine, Cindy.
It's not over yet. I have two more readings to do yet.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's not over yet.
Well,
it's not over till it's over.
All right. Well, hopefully your night will end soon and these readings will be a little bit less taxing on you. And then TJ can come over and give you a nice glass of wine and have you just relax.
Oh, thank you. And good night to you. And thank you for helping me tonight, as always.
Always. Good night.
Bye.